Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
If you commit yourself to the effect of the power, but you miss the source of the power, if you don't put your faith on the cause because you are too enthralled in the effect, well, you're not really being changed. You're just being entertained.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Get ready. Get ready, get ready. Here we go. Truth Seekers, my name is David. This is Truth Infusion. And like I said last week, this is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, where the host of the radio program doesn't really matter, and the truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6, "I am the truth." And as he concluded that powerful statement, he said this: "No man comes to the Father except through me." No man comes to God the Father. No man has relationship with a holy God except through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you read in the first part, first few verses of Romans chapter 5, this concept of Jesus being the only way is carried out. When we read these first two verses of Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "No man comes to the Father except by me or through me." And then Paul said in Romans 5, 1, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's verse 2, "through whom we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand." You see, there is no way to get into the presence of God, truth seeker, except through the person of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the only way. I am the truth. I am the life." We do not serve a multiple choice God. And that's good news. I know that the heart of man, our sin nature, desires for us to have it our way, the way we want it. And see, we live in a world today that is based on that concept. The going thought, the going religion of the world today is have it the way you like it. And you can make truth fit your desire. Hey, truth is what you want it to be, says the world today. It is the postmodern humanistic way of thinking, this relativistic religion that is being pumped into our airwaves and across our television, and multimedia is just pumping this into the minds of the younger generations, that there is no right, there is no wrong. You have it the way you want it. That means there's multiple ways to get to that higher level of thinking, that God, whatever you want him or her to be, is how you want it, and get there how you want to, as long as you really believe in whatever you want that belief system to be, then somehow or another that makes you spiritual. I want to tell you something. That's a bunch of junk, and it's leading people to hell in droves. The truth is Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God Almighty. And because of that, because we've identified with two quick verses that he is the only way to get to God, I want to carry that out with this thought. Since Jesus is the singular way to God, well, truth seekers, it would just go stand to reason that there is a singular way to get to Jesus. You see, there's not five ways to fall into relationship with Christ. There's not even two ways. There is one way and one way only to find yourself in relationship with Jesus and thereby find yourself in relationship with His Abba Father. There is one way to God, that's through Jesus, and there is one way to Jesus, real, true salvation. And the problem that we have in the church today, truth seekers, is that we have lost sight of the real one and only true way to find justification or salvation, or we want to say we are saved. There's really only one way to become saved, to become justified, find yourself in relationship with Christ. Only one way, not two, not three. It's not, you know, the person with the best of intentions. The best of intentions will lead you straight to hell. There is one way. And because there is only one way and we are losing sight of what that one way is in the church today, specifically I want to talk about the American church. In the American church today, we are losing sight of the true one and only way to find yourself in relationship with Jesus Christ. And because that is true, and because we keep preaching, and we are preaching a way that is not true, we have a lot of people in church today. You will be in church with them on Sunday morning this very week, and it may even be you that I'm about to speak of. We have a whole lot of people that believe they are saved because they are hearing and receiving wrong teaching, or only half of the story, or something completely off the wall altogether. But they believe what they are hearing, and so we have a lot of Christians today that have what I want to call counterfeit salvation. And that's what this teaching series is entitled, Counterfeit Salvation. I gave you some statistics last week as I was introducing this series, and let me share those with you again. Some of the greats in modern-day Christianity here in America have given their opinion. The stats are in. Reverend Billy Graham was quoted as saying that he believed that 85%, as much as 85% of the church today, the church goers today, not just somebody who shows up on Easter and around Christmas one or two times. I'm talking about our consistent church members. And believe me when I say that membership doesn't mean you're a child of God, but Billy Graham would say that he believed that upwards of 85% of the churchgoers today will never see the kingdom of heaven. W.A. Criswell said that 75% was his estimate. A.W. Tozer said 90% in his opinion. 90% church truth seeker. That is only one out of every 10 persons that passes through the door of the church this Sunday morning. If he is right, only one out of every 10 will see Jesus face to face and will hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I ended last week's show by saying this small quote right here. Many modern day church members who think they are saved are really only deceived. James Moffat said this, "Within every congregation there is a small nucleus of people who believe, and they are surrounded by a much larger group who only believe that they believe." It's a scary thought. It ought to rattle your cage. It ought to make you turn around and look at yourself. And you say, "Well, David, that's Billy Graham, Criswell, Tozer, James Moffat. Hey, these are all men. They can make mistakes." And I'll grant you that. All men can make mistakes. But there's one man that never made a mistake. His name was Jesus Christ. And I shared this last week. He gave us the parable of the four soils. And in that parable of the four soils, only one out of the four soils was capable and able to receive the seed and produce fruit. Now, Jesus told us that those four souls represents the heart of man. You and I, our heart is represented by one of those four souls, and only one of the versions of the heart of man, one out of four, will receive the word, and it will be manifested to have received the word by producing the good fruit. Even Jesus Christ said that at best, 25% that hear the word will truly be saved. It's scary statistics. Counterfeit salvation. Many people believe they're saved, but most in the church today have a counterfeit version of true salvation. It looks real, so real, in fact, it fools many people, but it is only counterfeit. That's why I believe that the scariest words a man, woman, boy, or girl will ever hear is when they stand before Jesus Christ, and believe me when I say, you will stand before Him, believe in Him or not, like Him or not, follow Him or not. You will one day stand before the God-man, the Messiah, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You will stand before Him, you will look Him eye to eye. And a great many, Jesus Himself said, a great many will hear Him say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are a worker of lawlessness. The scariest words a man or woman will ever, ever hear is if they hear Jesus say, I never knew you. Get away. So with that as the backdrop and the foundation of what this teaching series is all about, I'm not going to tell many jokes. It's not going to be very lighthearted. I hope you can feel that. This is going to be very intensive, heavy teaching, but you need to hear it. Don't turn the channel. Don't slide past this, even if it's uncomfortable. Listen to what the God has put on my heart. I want to share scripture with you, and I want to show you over the next 2 or 3 weeks or so, three potential counterfeit versions of salvation. We're going to talk about one of them today. We'll pick up next week with the next one. But three different potential versions of salvation that are not true, will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. They are, in fact, counterfeit. They're fake. They're false. They're make-believe. And a great many people will fall into one of these three categories. Now, there are probably other categories. I'm not saying these are the only three, but these are the three that God has laid on my heart. In fact, there's a fourth one that I've considered perhaps bringing out, and I just may do that. The Lord leads me to do it. But I'm going to start today with the first of these three versions of counterfeit salvation. And all three of these I have built around a common cliche, just as a point to kind of help you remember these points. And if you're American, if you're from America, you're going to recognize these cliches. But if you're not from America, you may not. I'm going to explain them as we go. But the first one is this. Seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. The old cliche says, seeing is believing. And many of you have heard that, probably said it. But as far as the economy of heaven goes, God's version of this cliche would not remain the same, because in God's estimation, seeing is not believing. And we're talking about counterfeit salvation. Let me take you to the scripture. John chapter 2, the last few verses of the chapter, John chapter 2, and starting in verse 23, this is what the Bible says, what John says. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in His name. Let me say that again. Many believed in His name. One more time. Many believed in His name when they saw the signs that He did. Let me talk about this for just a moment. Passover week, 7 days. All of Judaism, at least as many as possibly could, would be in and around Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus is there. And John lets us know that He's not just hanging out on a street corner here or there, visiting with friends quietly, kind of in seclusion from the masses. No, He is front and center. There's a spotlight being placed on Him by the Holy Spirit, because all week long, Jesus is in the public eye performing miracles. And we know that these were not just one miracle here and one there, two or three over the week. No, this was a continual act of the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, because John lets us know when he says the words that they saw the signs that he did right there is written in the Greek in a form of a continual action. He was continually performing miracles, and I want you to know he wasn't just doing a few card tricks, right? He wasn't doing some sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors. Now, no, this was the real thing, guys. This was miracles. The signs and wonders were rolling in Jerusalem that week. He wasn't doing it in the back alleys. He wasn't doing it in the privacy of someone's living room. He was performing miracle after miracle after miracle in the public eye, and the masses were seeing it happen. So many miracles that they knew it was legitimate and it wasn't just an illusion. You know, I could trick somebody with a sleight of hand trick. If I can do a trick and you weren't expecting it to happen, spur of the moment, I offer this trick and I don't do it again. I just one time and I turn around and walk off. I may possibly leave you spellbound with your mouth dropped open, right? But Jesus isn't doing that. He's working miracle after miracle after miracle, performing them continually so that the people are seeing this day after day this whole week. They know some stuff about Jesus because of what they are seeing. He is a powerful man of God. He is a miracle worker. He is the real deal. They are not just seeing him do this. This is happening to the people they love. Family, friends who have had ailments, diseases, demon possession, whatever the case, they have known these people to be sick or infirm for years and years, and now their whole families are being turned upside down by the gracious miracle working power of Jesus Christ. And because of what they see and because of what they know is real and legitimate, the Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 23, many believed in his name. Now, I want you to see the next verse, because everything gets turned on its head when you read the next verse. It says, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and he had not need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Interesting, isn't it? They believed in what they saw. They saw the miracles. They placed belief in his name. But Jesus did not return the favor. Now, some translations say that that he did not commit himself to them. Some say that he did not believe in them, and really that's the better way to look at it, because when it says that they believed in his name and it says that he did not commit themselves, the word believed and the word commit are the same word in the Greek. So in essence, it's saying that they believed in him, but he did not believe in them. They believed in what they saw in Jesus, but Jesus did not believe in them. You see, they were believers. The Bible says that. But because Jesus had not placed faith in their belief, they were unsaved believers. They had a form of belief, but it was not unto salvation. Now, how does this work? Because we know what Jesus is saying right here. I know what's in their heart, John said. He knew what was in the heart of men. He did not need you to testify to what and how you were believing. He knew it. And over in the Gospels, we see situations where people would just be thinking something in their mind, and Jesus would just read their mail and tell them exactly what they were thinking and answer their questions, and they never had even spoken the question out loud. You see, Jesus knows what's in your heart today, truth seeker. No doubt about it. You can't hide it. You can't disguise it. He knows what's in you. So we've got to examine what is it that they're believing, because if it's not unto salvation, then there's a great chance that there are many people today that are suffering from the same unsaved believers syndrome. And I'll say it in short right now, right away. Responding to a miracle or responding to some emotional moment or responding to some good church service is very, very different from making Jesus your Lord. We have a lot of people today, just like back then, Just like in this week over the Passover, we have a lot of people in our churches today and in the Christian circles today that are committing themselves to what they are seeing. They are putting right faith in the identification of what they're looking at. You see, they know what they're seeing is of God. They know what they're seeing is spiritual. It's making an effect. It's having an impact. And they see the effect of what's going on, and they believe that it's true and it's real to the point that they want to be around it. They want to be there in that church. They want to see what God's going to do next. They even want it to touch and affect themselves. But if you commit yourselves to the effect of the power, we're going to talk about cause and effect here. If you commit yourself to the effect of the power, but you miss the source of the power, if you don't put your faith on the cause because you are too enthralled in the effect, well, you're not really being changed. You're just being entertained. Let me give this some illustration. Just over the last few weeks, my wife and I, my kids, we'd gather around the TV for seven particular nights in a row and watch the NBA Finals. Now, if you're listening to this right away, you know that the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers just played in the finals. Now, you may hear this a year from now, streaming it from the website or what have you. I'm talking about the NBA Finals with LeBron James and Steph Curry, round two, right? And here's what we saw. The Cavaliers eventually won, but what drew my attention more than anything else was the performance of LeBron James. Because statistically, he did something that no one has ever done. Statistically, no one has ever, no one person, one basketball player in the NBA playoffs, much less just the finals, but in all of the playoffs, no one person has ever led all the statistical categories for both teams. In other words, LeBron James was number one in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Not just for the Cavaliers, but he also led all of the players who played for Golden State too. An amazing effort and performance for the ages. Now, I don't care if you like him or not, if you're a LeBron James fan or not, you've got to tip your hat to someone who could have that type of performance over seven games and end up winning the title with their team and for their city. An amazing performance by LeBron James, and I enjoyed watching it. I'm not even telling you who I was pulling for or not. I'm just saying, as someone who enjoys to watch a performer at the top of their game, no matter what it is, I don't care if you're an athlete or an actor or a dancer or what have you. If you're one of the very best, I enjoy watching you perform at the top of that craft. And it was an interesting performance to watch. I enjoyed it. It brought pleasure. It was fun. It was amazing at times. I enjoyed the production of LeBron James and what he did. It had a great effect on me. I enjoyed watching it. But I want to make a point here. I enjoyed the effect of his performance. But you know what? I don't know a thing about LeBron James personally. I do not. I don't know where he lives. I don't know his middle name. I don't know if he's married. I have no idea. I don't know what his likes or dislikes are. I don't know what he's afraid of, you know, what his hobbies are. I don't know anything about the man, LeBron James. I don't know him personally. I enjoy what he does, but that doesn't mean I know him. And you see, the people in the Passover week 2,000 years ago were enjoying with great pleasure what Jesus was doing. They were being affected and changed by the production of what he was doing. And I'm not saying what Jesus was doing was for entertainment purposes, but they were receiving what he was doing, and they were enthralled and thrilled by the effect of what he was doing. But that doesn't necessarily mean they knew the man. That doesn't mean they had personal relationship with Christ. It just means they were being affected by his power. seeing is not believing. Just because you see it and even believe that what you are seeing is legitimate does not mean that you have true salvation, truth seeker. It's time to check yourself this morning, because if what you are having more than anything else is a belief in what you are seeing, in other words, if you have faith in your ability to identify the truth, that's very different than having faith in submission to the truth. You can have an amazing emotional response. You can enjoy a good church service. That does not mean that you belong to Jesus Christ. You see, a person who wants and desires the works of Jesus, but doesn't want and desire His word or His lordship, can never share in His life. A person who wants His works but does not want His word can never share in His life. We say seeing is believing. That's not how God's system works. In God's system, you've got to believe on the right thing first, and then you'll start seeing some stuff. Many believed in His name when they saw the signs that He did, but Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew what was in their heart. I wonder today if you have a counterfeit salvation because you have placed your faith in the effect of the power, in what you have seen with your eyes. The old poem says this: life's dim windows of the soul distort the heavens from pole to pole and will cause us to believe a lie when we see with and not through the eye. There's only one way to heaven. Come back next week. We'll talk about the second version of counterfeit salvation. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.